Acts chapter number 10. Verse number 37. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing some. All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you, we're connected. Thank you for uniting us. And when we're united in spirit and in heart and in purpose, then you command your blessing in our direction. Then there's healing manifested. There's restoration manifested. So we receive your mercy tonight. We receive the bread and the fruit of the vine at your table tonight in the matchless name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. 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 Be seated, please. I trust that you grab hold of this by faith. There's something about expectation that absolutely triggers a response in the heart of God. It's a manifestation of faith. And faith should be simple, not complex, because it isn't complex. It's as simple as the heart of a child. When my granddaughter gets up on the seat next to me and with me, and I'm working on something in the computer, and she says, "Papa, go to..." And she gives me a website. Yeah, so I do. And we're looking at, and if I go too fast, she'll say, "Stop, no, I want to see that." Okay. And then when I click it on, she says, "I want that." Okay. And if you just click it, UPS will bring it to us. Wow. Yes. It's cool. But there's simple faith in that little expression that I find so exciting, because she has a great expectation that just because she's asking, it's going to happen. Because she knows she's got a papa that loves her and will do what he can to bless her. Right? And when you read the Bible, you should read it with that kind of expectation. There's something in there. Hey, I want that. And know that if you strike the heart of your Heavenly Father with simple faith, that's in there, I want it. And you come to him in that simplicity of belief that he's more than happy to hand it to you and bless you with it. A simple response to childlike faith, that somewhere we get lost and have lost in the shuffle of the busyness and distractions of life, because we want to qualify everything and put all kinds of restrictions and options on them. When God just says, "Would you just come to me in faith and believe that when you ask me, I more than want to give this to you. I'm pleased to do it, and I've got all the resources in the world, and I can beat even Amazon Prime and get it to you that fast." Amen? So I hope and pray that you will come to God tonight with that kind of childlike faith. I want to share a word with you that I believe we as a family need to hear. Because there's victory in this word. I have a message. And as I continue on that moving forward and following into the right direction into the new year that God has for us, I want to preach to you about untouchable and also unstoppable and unbreakable. Amen? Those are attributes that should be a part of kingdom people. And therefore, to see his manifested blessing, we come to the table of the Lord. There's health and healing at the table of the Lord. Say it with me. There's health and healing at the table of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, I am healing the body of Christ. I am blessing. Why? Because I want to do that. Father wants to bless us. All we need to do is come and crawl up on the lap of our Heavenly Father and say, I need that, Lord, in my life. And God is more than happy to bless us with that. There will be health physically, emotionally, spiritually among the membership of the body of Christ. The spirit of infirmity is being defeated in the body of Christ. Someone who's been suffering needs to give Jesus some praise and thanks and say, that's mine. Amen. He's healing us. He's healing us. And we're not just going to another level, because going to another level is like going up a flight of stairs from the first to the second floor. No, it's far more than that. Beyond what we ask or even think, we're going to another dimension. So tell your neighbor, another dimension. We will see God like we've never seen him before. That face to face. Look into the eyes of your Father. Now, we've come out of Egypt, and the echoing theme and the protocol, like Israel when it came out of Egypt, we've come out of our Egypt. God blessed them with provision for the purpose of building his house. When God blesses your life with any material manifestation, there is always the purpose of God involved in that, having us assisting in the building of his house. So when God blesses us, favors us, and prospers us, we always need to think about, what is it, God, you want me to do for your work and for your kingdom? And secondly, in addition to God providing more than enough for them, there were none feeble among them. They were healed and restored. So it says he also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. That's an amazing statement. That's a phenomenal concept. That's the Father's heart toward his people. And God is wanting us to look at unstoppable, but before I get there, we need to understand first untouchable. I want to expand that truth a little bit the next time we have a Sunday night service in the new year. But it's his plan for his church. The Holy Spirit will do Jesus' work at his table. Amen? He will do Jesus' work at his table. Jesus came to establish his kingdom. Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to the world to redeem us and to heal us and to restore his people. So we will come to the table tonight with understanding, comprehension of why and what this table is all about. Listen to what the word says and follow his instructions. Now watch, I'll go back to my text, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. This is, watch him on his mission. And he went about doing good, catch this, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen? Understand, demonic work can cause physical infirmity, can cause emotional infirmity. Amen? And tonight we're calling for a stop to that. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Jesus was healing people continuously in his ministry. The apostle said, we don't have enough writing materials to contain everything that Jesus did. Say, Jesus continually healed people. Which means he was restoring them emotionally, spiritually, physically. When God brought his people out of Egypt, ready to head over into the promised land, he made certain that none of them was sick. He brought Israel forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now watch. In 1 Corinthians, we move over to the new covenant. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That means died. Now, I'm going to take a tour of this topic briefly because it's necessary for us to get ready for a new dimension, a healing dimension. The context of this passage is the Lord's table. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." The word "often" is used there. Jesus is interested in us taking his table often to remember what Jesus has done, to remind us to keep on the forefront and front burner of our thinking all that God has done for us. "But he who eats or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Many are weak, others have died in the body of Christ." Premature death. I want to take a moment and come against premature death. I want to block that by the power of the word of the living God. I rebuke the spirit of death, a spirit heading in your direction. In Jesus' name, I call for an extension over your life because of not discerning, but tonight we will discern. We will discern. So I speak life to you, abundant life, the life of Christ, which is Zoe, God-like life, over you in Jesus' name. The spirit of death suspended over our lives. So let me say this to you. Even when you don't feel healed, it's done. Jesus took care of it. Rest in that. Rest in that. Now, a trick of the adversary to keep you anxious, but trusting and resting in God is the key to your healing and restoration. Not being anxious, but resting, trusting in the Lord. It's the key. Say, "It's done." Paul said, "For this reason, only for this reason, not for these reasons." And then he gives us a litany and description of the various things we might do in action that could bring about judgment. No, he said, "For this reason, I can safely say there is one reason why some Christians are sick and weak and die before their time." Because Paul says so. The reason, not discerning the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. When you don't discern, when you only think you're just eating a little wafer and drinking a little bit of grape juice, you're in danger territory. You need to revere and honor what Jesus did by allowing his body to be broken and his blood to be shed. To walk in divine health and wholeness, we must discern the body and the blood of Jesus. So this is a special moment. This is not a casual opportunity. To walk in health, we must discern the body of Christ. So pay attention. "Beloved," John said, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Now, we can quote that probably from memory, but catch the protocol. Let it become rhema, not just logos on paper, but rhema, living word to you. John said, "I pray that you may prosper in all things." The first thing God did for Israel when they were ready to exit Egypt, he prospered and provided for them. They were blessed. When Jesus entered the synagogue after returning from his temptation out in the wilderness, he stood up and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." His protocol first was to bless his people, to provide for his people. God is vitally interested in blessing and providing for his own. And so you ought to crawl up on your daddy's lap tonight and say, I need that in my life. Amen? God wants you to have that. Secondly, John goes on to say, to be in health. When Israel exited Egypt, there was none feeble among them. Please understand what God wants to do when he takes us to another place in him. God wants to bless and prosper his people in all things. We have entered the window in time and coming out of debt, walking in financial freedom. How many want to live that way in 2017? Be expecting the blessing of the Lord. He wants to release that to his people. My daughter was telling me a little bit about someone today that got blessed that way. It's a lady that teaches in school where she works. And this teacher is a single parent. I think, is it three children or four? Three? And raising her children with a kind of a car that doesn't run all that great and trying to make ends meet in a private school pay scale, which isn't always that good. And struggling, wants to go to church, sometimes is fearful that the car won't even make it back and forth. And my daughter happened to catch in one of the social media circles she works with and down there in Roseville, and that there was a person who was offering a vehicle, an SUV, said, I'm blessed this year, and I want to give this vehicle away to someone that needs it, and no strings attached. It'll have a full tank of gas. It's in perfect running condition. I'll even pay for the registration, transfer, everything. I just want to bless somebody because God's blessed me so greatly. So my daughter wrote to this individual quickly, and a very descriptive, articulate version of who this person was in the school that was a teacher. And the lady thanked my daughter, said, we've got a lot of people buzzing this right now and lighting this up, so I'll get back to you if there's any interest on our part. And just a few minutes later, she snaps right back and says, I just feel that the Lord wants me to give this vehicle to your teacher friend at your school. So when can I bring it? So my daughter calls the teacher and says, there's someone who has a very special gift for you, and you need to come over to my house. She said, What? I don't have time for that. Yeah, you better make time for this. You will make time for this. And so they set up the time, and my daughter never told her what the gift was or who the person was. My daughter never met this person. This individual is a chaplain trained by Chaplain Mindy, where you and I were trained and have worked with over these years as a chaplain for law enforcement, got our training with Chaplain Mindy. And this individual lady, who's a married lady with children, God's blessed her, and she got all she needs, and she wanted to bless somebody else with this vehicle. So all of a sudden, now the arrangement is made. My daughter gets this teacher friend over to her house. The time is scheduled for after 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and comes to the door is this little chaplain lady, and she meets this teacher for the first time, and she captured it. My daughter captured this on video. It's phenomenal. Just make you cry. And this lady can't believe it. I mean, it's like, here's a vehicle, all leather interior. It's got, you know, the backup camera and the whole bit, all those kinds of bells and whistles on it, and says, it's yours. And let's arrange Monday. We'll go down to motor vehicle department and we'll transfer everything over to you. I'll pick up the check for that. All I just need is a ride home. Can you take me home tonight? Okay. And now, you see, that's the heart of our Father. That's the heart of our Father. It's the way God wants to bless his people. And that was not coincidence. It was directed by the Holy Spirit for someone she knew that she worked with every day who had a need, and someone she didn't know who God moved upon to do something spectacular, and the two of them divinely get together. Well, then anybody knowing one another except for the one teacher my daughter works with, she knows, but nobody else knows either person. So here you go, with God using a means and a method to get blessing to his people, walking in the favor and the blessing of the Lord. So as your soul prospers, we need a closer walk with Jesus. That's what John is saying. As your soul prospers, as your walk with him becomes more intimate, a daily fellowship in the Spirit with the Master, soul prosperity, so that we grow to the measure of the stature of Christ. So listen to what the protocol was in the early church, because this should be our protocol. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Amen? There's a couple of keys there. They gathered together, which the body of Christ needs to remind itself to do, and they were all with one accord. They have one focus and one purpose. Then it says, then they continued steadfastly, which means there was diligence and focus in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they listened to what was being taught to them and fellowship, connecting with one another in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Whatever Jesus said was important, the early church made important. Jesus said to take communion often in remembrance of me. That means this is important. Amen. Then fear, or great reverence for God, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So when we come to this table often with discernment and respect, we open the floodgates of heaven for signs, wonders, and miracles. It says they worship together in the temple each day. What does that mean? They went to church every day. Met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Those were earmarks of the early church. They gathered as often as they could, collectively. They met in homes and shared the table of the Lord. And then they were gracious and generous in preparing meals and celebrating the good things of the Lord with one another. Great joy and generosity. Say, great joy and generosity. That needs to be a mark of who we are as followers of Jesus. We experience the Lord's Supper here collectively, as they also did in the early church. It's ordained of God that we gather and we celebrate the table of the Lord. But you should also be sharing his table in your homes. We got one amen. You follow the protocol of what they said was important. I said we should also be sharing the table in our homes. In humility before Jesus, you bring to yourself life and life more abundantly. Now, let me share this truth. His table can add years to your life. Tell your neighbor, his table can add years to your life. And life to your years. So, Calvary, let us discern the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The fruit of the vine representing Jesus' blood is for our forgiveness. The bread represents his broken body is for our healing. The blood for forgiveness. Say, I am forgiven. Oh, my, that's sweet. Think of that. I am forgiven. Colossians, Paul wrote, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, bought back, redeemed. He writes the check for our prison break. He pays the bail and sets us free. Then he goes on to say, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which means no matter how bad it ever got, I've got more than enough resource to pick up the tab for that too. Jesus died in our place. The penalty for all we have done was nailed to the cross. You are forgiven. Say that to your neighbor. You are forgiven. And if you don't discern that and receive that, you'll get sick. In your forgiveness, Jesus gives you the ability to go boldly into the presence of the Father and make your petitions known. And you don't have to hang your heads down and walk in and beaten up. Shame has been lifted. God doesn't hold it against us. The Holy Spirit is present to assist you, knowing in your heart now that, in fact, you are an heir, his heir, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You have free access to your Father. And you look at him and say, "Hey, Father, I need this in my life." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." The disciples had no problem with this truth. None. None whatsoever. Because they never saw Jesus sin. He was without sin. And I doubt they ever saw Jesus sick. He was not down under the weather. He never had to have a substitute that's recorded for him that had to fill in for him. He walked in perfection and wholeness. Let me explain why. Because everyone that was brought to him was made whole. Right? Everyone. There was so much anointing upon him, it penetrated his garment. I don't think sickness had a whole lot of opportunity with Jesus. Because the woman with the issue said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Just let me get that close. I'll be well." And you know the story. She was instantaneously healed of her many-year disease. She was made whole having touched his garment. And then Matthew goes on to record, speaking of the multitudes that are following Jesus while he's teaching and ministering, that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So healing just flows out of him naturally. He's God. So disease doesn't have much of a chance in the presence of God. When you touch the elements of this table in faith, the bread and the fruit of the vine, there is forgiveness and there is healing. When you take the bread in his name, you are taking in his vitality, his wholeness, his forgiveness. And I could continue with this, and I could preach for half an hour more on this, but hear this. Supernatural things are going to happen as we reverence his table and reverence who Jesus is and what he's doing in this moment when we come to his table. And let me encourage you. This discernment also includes being free from personal sin through disobedience. Some people need to pay their tithes. That is good preaching. I know it is. Yep. Let me set this up for you. This discernment includes, discernment of the Lord's body includes freedom from personal sin through disobedience. In other words, we deliberately, no, I'm not going to do it. Some people need to pay their tithes because you've robbed God for months and you've opened the door. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way, Paul writes about communion. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So God is saying even this discipline is for your benefit. It's to get your attention so you don't end up going to hell with the rest of the heathens who reject me. So we don't buy our forgiveness, no. Nor do we buy our healing. But we can prevent our forgiveness and healing when we live in open defiance and disobedience to God's will in our lives. Remember, the early church took the Lord's Supper daily and collectively. They were not going to be governed by the culture, But their faith in Jesus expressed itself in open generosity, not a withholding from the Lord, but giving to the Lord. That's how it was expressed. They were discerning of the Lord's table and of his body and blood. And I look at this and I think, my goodness, if we're openly defiant, then we come to the table, we're setting ourselves up for trouble, for difficulty. Paul is trying to warn us, and he's trying to tell us, don't do this that way. Do what the early church did. Now, what you really want to find interesting is the rarity with which you find illnesses and sicknesses attacking these early new converts. And you don't find constant struggle with physical ailment. Because I believe by taking the Lord's Supper every day, I believe by practicing the table of the Lord collectively with the body, I believe that having discernment about the value of the body and the blood of Jesus, I believe that we can be blessed of God and form protection in our lives because we are honoring the Lord for what he's done for us and saying, I believe what you did is absolutely true. So watch this in Acts 2 and 42. All the believers, say all, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Okay, all. Now, there were at least 3,000 of them by now. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. And some people go, well, this is a commune. No, it was not a commune. Let me explain what this is. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. What this means is those who had, I have extra property I'm not using. I have a second home. I have some jewelry I don't use. I have things that I no longer have use for. I'm bringing that all for sale, and I'm selling all of it, and I'm making sure that any that lack in the fellowship that we belong to, their needs get met this way. That's a spirit of generosity in the body of Christ. And they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Wow. There was an explosiveness about this kind of commitment to the Lord. So I believe when we come into agreement with God and his divine plan for us at Calvary Christian Center, when we come to this table in reverence and in faith, when we discern the body, amen, we come in obedience and the blood of Jesus, he'll release signs, wonders, miracles. We will step into that new dimension. I say that in the name of the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So I want to come into agreement with God's protocol. These are the protocols of God's word. He's given us the template. Walking in freedom. Walking in his health. Walking with soul prosperity. So we get to walk into a new dimension of blessing and freedom and health. And that's what the early church was able to do. They were able to walk with the blessing of the Lord, with the freedom of the Lord, with prosperity that God provided, with a continuous growing because they were focused on paying attention to what was being taught to them by their leadership, and they were walking in the blessing and favor of God. That his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Calvary, in Jesus' name, you become blessed of heaven, blessed in the body of Christ, watching God perform the supernatural, stunning miracles. And I was looking at that little video this afternoon. I saw a stunning miracle that God arranged to meet the need of somebody who was a baby Christian. And all of a sudden, recognized, I have a father who really cares about me. And from a place I never expected, he took care of me and sent the UPS truck with a special delivery just for me. Yeah. It's kind of godly, sir. Why don't you crawl up in his arms tonight? Say, Dad, I've got a need. And you said right here, we can turn right to this site where it says, you were wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement, my peace was upon you. And with your stripes, I am. Deliver that to me, please. Unstoppable. Unbreakable. Daniel faith. Faith in a culture that was anti-God and fully heathen. Untouchable, unbreakable, unstoppable. Be healed, Calvary Christian Center. Emotionally, spiritually, physically. God sent his word and healed them, the scripture says. And he's sending his word to you tonight. The word of the Lord has come to you. Receive it, you shall be healed. And so, Pastor Michael, as you come, I say to cancer, and I say to blood disorders, and COPD, breathing issues and allergies and migraines and liver problems and muscular and skeletal, stomach, digestive, whatever it is, it's over in the name of Jesus. Be well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So why don't you lift your hands and prepare yourself for the table of the Lord? Because Jesus' blood still works. Power in the blood of Jesus. When Jesus cried, it is finished, remind yourself, remind your body, it is finished. Jesus paid it all. Say, I'm redeemed from the curse. Say, Jesus' life flows through my body. Now, expect this miracle to start manifesting in you. Because when you touch him, you've touched wholeness. Disease cannot live in God's presence. Tell your neighbor, you are healed. Look at him and say, you are healed. Now say, we are healed. Say, resurrection power is alive in us. Even though you may not feel it emotionally, immediately. We walk by faith. What did God say? That's what he said. Not by sight. And so we begin then to do something we couldn't do. And as we do it, we give all the glory to God for healing us. Because that's the methodology Jesus used, right? We don't have to wait until the answer has manifested, because that's gratitude, and we should have that. But we praise God in advance. That's faith. And we need both, faith in advance and gratitude after the fact. Believers grab it by faith. Stand on his word. When Jesus healed, he gave instructions. Go to the priest. Go wash. Take up your bed. So, for healing to manifest, you may have to do something. I may have to take some action. You might have to change specific kinds of foods that you eat that are doing damage to you. You may have to get out of a sedentary lifestyle and start moving and doing some things that you need to do. Keep your body toned. cooperate with him. And then hear his promise to you. The enemy you see, he told his people, you will see no more. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody excited about that? I'm very excited about that. The enemy that you see, you will see no more. Thank the Lord. Bless the Lord, everybody. Come on. Come on, bless him.